Well, greetings to each of you on this day. Today we are covering chapter 5 of My Soul Waits by Marva Dawn. And the title of this chapter is God's Mother Love, a powerful chapter of words that include affirmation and blessing in each of our lives. And so we begin reading Psalm 25, verses 6 and 7, and verse 10. And the words are this: Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Well, Marva starts out in this chapter talking about times of great loneliness, times from her childhood when she was lonely because maybe alienating or getting in a tiff with somebody and then feeling cut off. And she goes on to say that it's our sin, our brokenness that causes our loneliness. Alienated from God and from the people around us, we get alienated because of our pride, our temper, our stupidities, our prejudices, all of those things, our anger that wells out. And so we grapple with that sin and that guilt then that has cut us off one from the other. And oftentimes we think that sin has even cut us off from God. And the pattern of Psalm 25 here is instructive for our removing those obstructions, those things that get in the way, those roadblocks, those stumbling points, so that our relationships can be restored. And so there's an emphasis in this psalm where there's an emphasis of remember and do not remember. Both of those are important, right? The emphasis of remembering and then the emphasis of do not remember, which again gives us hope in the face of our sin. Because God has promised to, yes, remember us. The psalmist has requested God that, but also we're reminded that God lets go, that God deletes the tape of our sin that happens so often. If God, you see, ever does not remember, then God, out of faithfulness, has set those things aside. That's the nature of God's forgiveness. God remembers no more. And you could look up Jeremiah verse 31, or chapter 31, verse 34, to learn a little bit more there. But you see, the psalmist in this Psalm 25 asks God to remember God's compassions. And this plural Hebrew term there comes from the noun meaning womb, compassion, womb, and therefore implies the mother love of God. You see, when her baby cries, a mother who has carried that child for 9 months within herself, who is mysteriously knit to her offspring, that mother can hardly resist picking the child up to comfort the child and meet its needs. It's maternal. It's the natural response of compassion and care. And Marva writes in the same way, we are often baby helpless before God. I love that phrase. That before God, yes, I'm totally baby helpless. I need God's care and compassion in my life. This is one of many First Testament passages that remind us that God is beyond gender, but that the image of God here is both male and female and more. And so we can then use the human picture of a mother's womb and compassions, her unceasing mother love, to illuminate how Yahweh is infinitely attentive and intensely caring to answer our cries. And so are you. So are you. I would venture to say that any one of us who hears someone crying out in the wilderness, crying out at the city park, crying out in the shopping mall, crying out in the hallways of the school, that for most of us, the natural response is to search that one out and to see if they're okay or what it is that they need, to ask what has happened and how can we help. In this way, we are like God, providing care and compassion to the one who cries. Can you remember times in your life where you have cried and God and God's presence has been experienced? Can you remember times in your life when a family member, a friend, a coworker has cried out and maybe you have been the one there providing care and compassion? And can you remember a time when a family member, a coworker, a friend did that for you? And within each of those stories, seeing how God's mother love, an attentive and intensely caring response, has been ours. I think that's really, really important to hold on to in the midst of life's struggles. Now, Marva goes on from here to talk about how Yahweh, or the poet, asked God to turn away from remembering our sins. Knowing that we mess up, we make mistakes, we miss the mark. This poet wants to ask God, please turn away from remembering those things. And we often teach in the church that this word sin, amartia, means missing the mark, missing the goal, to go wrong, to go the wrong direction. If you were to aim for a target and you shoot the arrow and it flies off the field instead of onto the mark, that's what our sin is. Our lives are characterized by missing God's marks, God's way of life for us. And for whatever reason, when we miss the target, we feel then our alienation from God, and that alone can produce an intense feeling of loneliness. I think it also points to the fact that many times we just miss the point. We're often past the situation, the scenario, the time, and then we see, oh my gosh, how could I have missed that? How could I have been so wrong? Or how could I have missed the mark so greatly? And then God calls us back. We hear God calling us back to enter back into relationship, to not let our selfishness get in the way. You see, intense loneliness, separation from God and from others, can come when the bond between us is marred by our concern for just ourselves, our own selfishness, how I think, how I feel, what I want. All of that. How often do we respond with just our own gaze fixed upon ourselves versus a dynamic of living in relationship with others, which is a lot more messy, but also much more beautiful when we get that right? And so the poet goes on to ask that Yahweh not deal with him on the basis of his sins of omission or commission, his slipping and his rebelling, but that God would instead respond out of God's character. And God's character over time is seen as a character of steadfast love and faithfulness. So as we ask God to forget those things that we've done wrong or where we missed the mark, we then are called to remember God's character and how God responds to humanity when we miss the mark, that God enters in even more fiercely with steadfast love and faithfulness. And it's out of love and faithfulness that God will remember us. A speaker, a pastor, long ago did some tapes, and his name's Tony Campolo, and he told the story about the day that he gets to heaven, that he's going to be standing there, and God's going to show up, and God in this really big booming voice is going to say, "Tony, we've been waiting for you," you know, as though God is going to punish or God is going to get back for all the times that Tony messed up. And I've always laughed when I remember Tony saying that. But then he does go on to tell the story of that's Tony's baggage. That's Tony's way of carrying it. And what he gets to is the true character of God. That when God says we've been waiting for you, that we have a redemptive God, a restorative God, and that God can only be whole and well when all of creation and all of humanity is made whole and well. God will only be whole and well when creation and all of humanity is again made whole and well. That's the holarchy of God. That's in the character of God that we see. And that is what we seek to remember as we go throughout life. And so for you, how do you see God remembering you as a child of God and your identity created and wonderfully made by God? And what are you asking for God to not remember, for God to forget? I want you to remember on this day that God is faithful, that God is faithful, that God is faithful even when we are not, that God keeps God's promises even when we break ours. Our character is often going to miss the mark, but God's character will stay true to the promises that have been made in Jesus. And so to bring this together on this day for you, if we look there in chapter 25 and we go to verse 8 through 11, we see God and the that God is good and upright, and God instructs sinners in God's ways. God wants us to know God's ways. This verse stresses the connection between the character of God and the availability of God's instruction, that God is still there, even when we're not understanding. And then verse 9, that God guides the humble in what is right and again teaches them God's ways. God is teaching, God is instructing, God is leading, God is shaping, God is forming. There is graciousness in the instruction. And then in verse 10, all of the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Verse 11, for the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is so great. Forgiveness. God gives forgiveness. We are called to participate in that forgiveness. Because you see, God is going to forgive us because of God's name. That is the character of God. And when we receive forgiveness for the sin that we have done, then our loneliness and our despair and our feeling lost and forsaken, those things can begin to lessen. And we can return from our alienation and we can find joy in God's presence. That means we are restored. And as we are restored, we have the freedom and the courage to restore others, to live in a dynamic and life-giving relationship with others. Because the ways of God are loving and faithful, because God loves us thoroughly, as does a mother, we respond by gladly keeping the covenant, working on living the covenant promises that God has already made. That's the call on our life, to live in hope, to live in forgiveness, to live in joy, to live in right relationship, restoring one another into community with God and with each other. It's a lot to get our minds around, but I hope you see the great gift that we are seeing here in Psalm 25. And so a few questions for meditation on this day. Number one is, how do mothering images for God's love deepen your awareness of God's presence? As you imagine God as a mother to you, how does that deepen your awareness of God's presence? How does the constancy of God's faithfulness over the ages give you courage for today? Again, knowing God's story, God's faithfulness, how does that give you courage for what you're going through right now? The third question, at what moments and in what ways have you experienced God's forgiveness for your sins? Whether it's when you were a child, whether it is now in adulthood, how have you experienced God's forgiveness in your life? And the fourth question for you on this day is, how have you experienced God being true to God's character over and over again? And why does God forgive for the sake of God's name? Why does God forgive? What is it about God that continues to pour out forgiveness for the sake of all? Spend some time meditating on those things and see where God takes you in this conversation and in this growing relationship that we have with God, our Lord and Savior Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit who pours out life. Blessings to you on this day. Again, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.